Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I'm going to be concluding our series that we've been in since the beginning of the year, The Blessed Life. How many appreciated Pastor Steve Merle preaching last week? How many liked that? Some people was texting me, how come we don't hear from him more? Because then you wouldn't hear from me. No, I'm just playing. Thank you, Pastor Steve. That was amazing. He did an excellent job. I was able to watch by live stream. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. We're going to spend most of our time in Ephesians 1 as we go and we conclude this series. Sometimes I'm very disappointed in myself when I think about how limiting I am to the word of the Lord or the work of the Lord, and how I've defined the blessing of the Lord to primarily focus on that which is tangible or visible or easy to see, or that which I can get my hands on has become a bit bigger to me than the things that are eternal. We know that the things that are earthly, they are temporal, but the things that are heavenly, they are eternal. And I believe when we think about the word blessed, which God gave us this year as the word over our life, we perceive that it is the word that is for our earthly good and not necessarily for our eternal good. We know that eternity somehow is in there, but we don't really focus on that. We focus on kind of the right now and not the sweet by and by. It's as if we don't really think about the place that we're going to be for in eternity. But Deuteronomy 30 is the word that God gave to us. Verse 15 says, "See, I have set before you today life and death." Life and good, or death and evil. That's a pretty powerful statement to me, that God will put both things in front of you. God puts the opportunity for us to be blessed there. He puts the opportunity for good or the opportunity for evil, the opportunity for life or the opportunity for death. But you and I will decide which place we will stand. Are you going to stand in a place where the blessings are raining down, which may or may not appear to be comfortable, but they are the will of God? Or will you step outside of where God has designed for you to be and go for what might seem comfortable or go for what is temporal? God puts before you and I every day the choice between him and things. Your will or his will. What will you choose? If the blessings only become something that you want to receive to consume upon your own lust or based on your own desires, then at some point you're going to misuse those blessings. You're going to lose the clues that lead you to those blessings. And somehow you're going to say that your life is more consistent with a curse than it is a blessing. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 24. It says, "All flesh is like grass, and all the glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades off, but falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you, the word of the gospel." You know, there are things that look good on the outside like a flower, but you know what? They fade. And then there are things that we cannot see, which are eternal. Now, so when the first man and woman showed up in the scene in Genesis 1, what was the very first thing that God did for them? He created them, male and female, created he them, and he blessed them. That's the first thing that God did for man, was bless him. The first thing that God did for man was bless him. Before you did anything good or evil or right or wrong, you were in a blessed position. It's the word that is over your life. But that blessing to me is not the garden. It is the benefit, but not the primary blessing. It's not that they could get every tree of the garden. It's not that the first word spoken to them was be fruitful or prosper or subdue it, have dominion, have authority. That's all good, but that's not the biggest blessing. The biggest blessing is that they had a vertical relationship with God. They had access to God. They had intimacy with God. But when they chose opposite of his will and sin came in, the vertical relationship was broken. The ultimate blessing, eternal life with God, was put in jeopardy. Here's the thing. They valued something temporal over something eternal. They dumbed down the blessing of the Lord to be their house, their car, their own sense of happiness versus just being content fully with a relationship with God. I just ask you the question, it's a sobering question. Is God the person who makes your day great, who makes this life worth living? Or is it other things that line up alongside of him or above him or before him? That's what they lost. And they went on losing everything. Vertical relationship with him. And then it just started breaking down in the marriage. You know it started breaking down in the marriage right when God confronted them. Adam, where you are? What happened? You know what happened, Lord. The woman, the one you gave me the other day, the rib you took out, you laid me down, did a surgery on me. I ain't asked you to do that. The woman you gave me. Now, you set that whole thing up, and I feel like you set me up for failure. But I ain't going to go all the way there, Lord. All I'm going to say is the woman you gave me, she the one that took the fruit, and she ate some. That messed us up. Then she gave it to me. I didn't want her to feel bad. I ate it. So the problem is her. It's what I want you to know. Sin is breaking everything down and breaking everybody down. It progresses. Then you have Cain and Abel, and there's a sin, brother against brother. It wasn't like they had, you know, a fight over a sheep. That's my sheep. No, it's your sheep. And he hit him with a rock. He was mad because his vertical relationship with God seemed to be all right. The blessing was abounding, and what defined the blessing is that he was accepted. Abel was accepted by God, but Cain was, and his offering was rejected. And this is a powerful thing that's going on. Separation continues because now man, instead of getting together all of humanity and trying to get back in relationship with God, they all get together and say, we're going to build up a tower. And we're going to get up there and be like God, making the rules and the standards. And it's, you know, all that. We don't need that vertical blessing restored. We're able to take these temporal resources and use them. And then it keeps going on. God makes a covenant with Abraham and separates the Jews from the Gentiles. But only in Christ Jesus does this unity and this realignment that allows the blessing to be fully restored over our life come. That means before Jesus, each and every one of us had an eternal sentence of separation from Jesus. Just let that sit on you for a minute at Upper Vineyard. Just let that sit. Before he came, before you and I recognized that we needed to say yes to him and make him Lord, all of us were going to spend eternity with the torment of never getting in his presence again. You don't even matter if you believe in hell or not. Here's the worst part of the afterlife without Christ. Life without him. There is no life. That was your condition. But when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when I was acting crazy, my mind wasn't right, I had my fast twitch on, you know, I was always ready to jab somebody. And when I wasn't dignified in my approach to things, when I was ignorant of what God's righteous standards were, when I was knowledgeable of what God's righteous standards were, but I wanted to violate them anyway, when I was in that condition, not thinking about God, when I was in church but still going to the places that make you go, you know how it is. How is it that's when he's died for me? That's when he intervened. That's when right when I was confused and lost, he stepped in. That's the blessing. The blessing is that there is a reinstatement of the vertical relationship between us and God through the submission to Jesus Christ as Lord and his applied blood to our life. And somehow, that has just become something instead of the main thing. It's like we need something bigger than that. Look, it don't get bigger. You know, you can trade it in, you know, cash it in if you want to. Pastor Harry Gomes came here and he 4 years ago and he announced to our church, he said, he was standing around the stage, he said, you need to stop and say to the Lord or write down to the Lord everything you want. The Lord said he's going to grant it. And so everybody started writing down things primarily. Things. A whole bunch of things. And I find that we're letting things or our own individual purpose, the things that we want to stimulate us, dominate. And we're ignoring the thing that God said to me 4 years ago through Pastor Harry Gomes is, God said, you're a friend of God. How many of us have been given an invitation or a intimate word from God about his desire to interact with us and you've ignored it? Or you have somehow just made it a light thing or a casual thing? Well, when we talk about the blessing, if you declare yourself blessed and your relationship with Christ is either non-existent or very weak, what are you basing that on? Because that stuff you might be basing it on is temporary. Your own strength, it can leave you. But your God promises never to leave you nor forsake you. No matter what Adam and Eve had, they chose something that took away from them the very thing that was the blessing, God himself. Ephesians 1. I love this book because all of the books of the Bible give us some type of, like Genesis is the book of beginnings. You have Matthew, which is a book about the kingdom, Galatians, about liberty, or Ephesians, we're going to talk about Christian riches in Christ primarily. I want you to understand that Ephesus was a place that Paul visited. He planted a church here. This was a place that was an economic hub. Where great wealth was stored here. The temple for Diana, the goddess that people worshipped her and they were idolatrous, was built. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. This was the place to be. And somehow this church was in a culture and environment that was self-centered, that was idolatrous, and it was about the blessing being something that was earthly more than something that was spiritual. And Paul was giving them insight into the greatest riches that they had. And he was doing that from a position of his own discomfort in prison. He was writing to them while he didn't have everything together. And here's Ephesians, or let me rephrase that. Not that he didn't have everything together, but what we consider earthly comfort wasn't a blessing. Because if God were to tell you that it would be a blessing for you to be one of the people who suffer for the cause of Christ, would you consider it blessed? Would you consider it the blessed position? I mean, like, that's a... So, basically, no, because y'all not saying amen or... No, you saying, no, Lord, don't put me in no tough situations. I'll take the blessings temporal. All right. I thought I heard somebody say, that's right. That's there's three type of blessings I'm going to deal with: the provisional blessings of God, the positional blessings, and the powerful blessings. Verse 3, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want you to know that God is still in the blessing business. Now that Christ is on the throne of our heart and on the throne of our life, he has given us all of the spiritual blessings that we need. The Bible says he gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible says that we are seated with him already in heavenly places. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with him in the next life, predicated upon our faithfulness to him in this life. God says that he gives us all things richly to enjoy. God says he supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory. He talks about his richness in mercy, his richness in grace, his immeasurable kindness. God is rich toward us. And the only thing we have to do to maintain this rich position is to maintain a yes in our life, that Jesus is Lord. I remember my natural father, who I just told you I had a broken relationship with. He was involved in witchcraft, cults, and different things like that. And I remember one day when I was about 13 years old, he called me up and he invited me over. You have to understand, my dad wore a turban most of his life to don't let this weird you out. But because he said he had a third eye, so he just keep the turban there, and that's where he was. Okay, so anyway, had a lot I wanted to say about that. I let that go. And somebody said, "Ooh, we got to get out of here because that's, ooh, Jesus. He has some deep things going on." Yes, Lord. Okay, so he got me, you know, in Detroit, it's a little rough. It was in a rough neighborhood. We get in the van and he had this paper sack and he pulled out hundreds of thousands of dollars in cashier's checks. And he said, "Son," I'd only seen him, this is probably the second or third time in my life I'd seen him, and he just gave me the bag. He said, "That's yours. That's yours." And see, these riches that he was trying to give me was to buy into, obviously, if you get that much money, you see that much money, you just excited. You just forget all the pain. You forget everything. Man, so how you doing? What, you want breakfast tomorrow? Yeah, praise God. Oh, you don't even ask questions like, "Where you get that? Why is it in a bag?" You don't even worry about that kind of stuff. Praise God. And my mom had us, we go home, and I sensed it too, that he was purchasing his way back into my life to continue a cult behavior. I don't have time to tell you the whole depth of the story. And I had to return. It was a hard day. Because when you're young and you know, I returned all of the money. My mom kept a $2,500 savings bond. That's it. Returned all of the money. But see, when God gives us riches, they are not to be taken back. He doesn't give and take. And here's how to prove. If John 10, 28 says like this, he said, "Behold, I give unto you eternal life. Neither shall you perish. Neither shall any man pluck you from my hand. My Father is greater than all, and no man can pluck you from his hand." See, he imputes to you eternal life. He, the just for the unjust. What you have is eternal in the heavens. That's why it's rich in mercy and it's rich in grace. How many times have you, I'm going to raise my hand first. Will you raise your hand if you've ever intended to do good, but the attractiveness of doing wrong got you doing wrong more than good before? If you ever been there. See, leave it up. See, that's called on-purpose sinning. That means, no, keep it up. Didn't mean I was sinning on purpose. I wasn't tricked. I wasn't trapped. I wasn't confused. My mind just said, you know what? I'm going to have to just take a little taste of that one right there. And then maybe next time, you know, put your hand in. But I'm saying, see, the mercy of God says, when you was right there doing it wrong on purpose, I was reminding you that you have a blessed position with me. That if you would just come to me, I still blot it out. I'll still remove it. I'll still cast it as far as the east is from the west. That's how good our God is. The blessing is not the stuff, it's the person. I said, you know why it's hard for us to grasp this? It's because we wouldn't do it that way. You make them you know, there's a There's a few things you can do. I overlooked that quick. Oh, you didn't speak to me. I was fine. I can live with that. You know, you hit my car, put a dent in it. By the way, it is a scratch on my car. I don't know which one of y'all members did that, but you don't have to come forward, but you know, if that was you, you know, the godly thing to do is to let that be known. But now you slap baby James. I just don't know. I got a list of these things that say, as long as you keep it benign, you know, kind of light and fluffy, I'm gonna be a good saint. But then I got another list over here that say, if you want to jump shady, you want to play like that? We can play. Let's rumble. Isn't it so funny? The reason sometimes we can't appreciate what God has done for us, because we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't do it like that. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm going to fight for my rights. You know, this Black History Month is coming to an end. And I remember being in Africa over there, getting a presentation about how they did slavery and everything. This was about 12 years ago. And I just interrupted the tour guide. And I said, oh, no, they would have never got me on the boat. I said, you sure they knew that they? I said, no. As soon as he said, that's not true. I said, well, he said, it was probably one of the most piercing things I've ever heard. He said, when you see an African American, you see the best of Africa. He said, those are the people who decided that they were the healthiest because they made it. They were the smartest because they knew that they were in a losing battle in the flesh. They was the smartest because they had to wait. They had to wait until a certain amount of time for the hearts of men to change. He said, as an African American, I don't believe you would have fought that way. He said, because that's the blood that's on the inside of you. I said, man, I'm feeling good. In the same way as Christians, when the blood of Jesus washes us clean, we get a new way of thinking, a new way of being. We have the mind of Christ. And now when they slap us, we turn the other cheek. When they ask you to go a mile, you go two. When they ask you for a coat, you give your cloak as well. You're willing to go the distance. It's not about how much you can fight. No. Accepting the rich blessings of who Jesus Christ is eternally and who you are eternally allows you to live in this temporal world with greater awareness of the plan of God in your life and greater stewardship. Point two, you have a positional blessing. Verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. I love this position that we have of God. Before the foundations of the world, we were a part of God's plan, part of God's scheme, a part of God's dream, a part of God's mind. And obviously, we don't have any recollection of what that meant. But yet, it was profound and it was great that we were somehow in the heart of God before he even let a bang happen. Before he built the earth, a star, a moon, or whatever. That we were the object of his creation. We were going to be a part of a plan. And the Bible says he was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. He had a plan. Even if something went wrong, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. You're not randomly here. I'm not randomly here. I have position with God. And that position is a blessed thing. It's greater than any other thing to be seated with him in the heavenly place, to have authority with him, to be an heir and a joint heir with Christ, really? To be called his friend and his brother, yet the bride, all of that's good. I have something significant with God that makes me blessed. And when I embrace this, it makes me live this life not reacting or overreacting to the temporal. Hey, better not do that to us. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Everybody want to fight, huh? You see, in Rome, where we just came back from, and put my picture up of the Colosseum. You know, here we are at the Roman Colosseum, where criminals got to go in there and fight for their life, where people who were gladiators fought for their life. Some fought for freedom, some fought for glory. And then there were Christians. See this cross right here? That cross reminds us that a countless number of people died simply because they were more heavenly minded than earthly minded. That they knew that all they had to do when somebody was questioning them, is Jesus Lord of your life? No, he ain't Lord of my life today. Because they were going to get killed. All they had was a little lie would get them out of the present pain. A little lie would let them stay with their families. A little lie would, you know, help them over a difficult time. And, you know, all they had to do was repent afterward. But what was it about the revelation in these men and women who died in this place that would not just let them name his name, but claim him? They were not going to be ashamed of him on this earth. No. For Christ I live, or for Christ I die, but I'm standing for Christ. But what is it about us in our position of blessedness that causes us to be silent when our heritage stood in the midst of calamity and death? They weren't just dying like, you know, a clean death, a nice chop of the head or something. They would put wild beasts in there. You had to fight a wild beast off. That's what people who have an eternal perspective are capable of doing. And let me tell you this. You and I don't know what this world is going to bring. What is your trust in? The might of your nation or the might of your God? You don't have any guarantees beyond Christ. 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And even Paul told Onesimus to go back to Philemon once he got saved. Why would Paul tell a slave to go back? Because once I got free, I'd be like, man, this is great. Paul, I'll just stay with you. I'm not going back. If he say a believer, he should have treated me better. He should have released me. He should have redeemed me, which means to purchase for the purpose of setting free. That's what Christ did for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Christ set you free from the laws and chains of sin and death to be free indeed. No, Paul, you telling me to go back to a situation where I'm down? Yeah. But he had eternity on his mind. He had purpose on his mind. Who told you that the only way to be at peace on earth is to have all of the authority? The first should be last should be first. The least in the kingdom is the greatest. Thinking this way will shape how you are, how you think politically. Stop losing your mind over the election process and the candidates we have to select behind. Stop putting your hope in people and being so critical of everything that you can't see what God is doing. You didn't lose your advantage. You're the blessed sons of God with authority. You can decree a thing and it'll be. You can speak to mountains and they'll be removed. If they lock you out of the medical system, you can still be healthy. If they tell you that unless you do this, you can't have this resource, then God will cause manna to come from heaven. You're blessed because you know the Eternal One. You have a position with the King. And just you can just keep reading that part of the text, but we have redemption. He buys us through his precious blood, and then he cast away all of the stuff that we could be accused of. And it's not because we're not guilty. Leviticus 16 talks about the scapegoat. So they would sacrifice one and use the blood, then they would lay hands on the other animal and then let them run free. Isn't it amazing that you and I know we're guilty of violating the righteous law of God, yet we are the owners and possessors of eternal life right now? He let us go. And if we're going to be like Christ, we have to let others go. Finally, we have a powerful blessing. I love it in verse 11. It says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you heard it and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possessions of it to the praise of his glory. Stand to your feet on this final thought. You know, I love this one. We got the seal of the Holy Spirit. That means the authority of God himself guarantees that we have when we accept Jesus Christ, we have that blessed vertical relationship. We have the guarantee or the earnestness of the Spirit. When we get born again and God the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us, it's like the down payment. It's the earnest money check. It's the saying that you already have what you need to actually get that home or get whatever it is you've put a down payment on. In other words, the Greeks would use it as the word guarantee as engagement. An engagement ring is given as a pledge or a promise that the rest will be fulfilled or redeemed or taken advantage of. What rest do you have? Well, you've got born again spirit. You got a sanctified mind. You're being sanctified, but your body is still waiting to be redeemed. But God gives us a promise that, you know what, we don't have to worry about it. All the blessings are going to come. Point of this message is to not just take advantage of the blessed life in this life, but store up treasure in heaven where no man can steal. And taking advantage of a blessed life in the next life is living your life like Christ, exclusively for Christ, for his benefit. Ministry team, you can come down. As you bow your head and close your eyes, I have this question for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, this is your call to discipleship at the conclusion of the service. If you have no one to walk with you and show you what Jesus would do, which we call discipleship, this is a call for you as well. Come and let another human help you in a small group find Jesus. If you are sick or infirm, come and let people with the grace of God on their life come and pray for you. Whatever your needs are, when I say the dismissal prayer in the upper venue, online or here, I want you to come and receive prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for this people. I pray, God, that we would understand the provisional blessing, the positional blessing, Jesus Christ is Lord, and the powerful guarantee through the Holy Spirit, that would be something we thank you for and praise you for. Now as we leave this place, God, I pray that those who need to come would come, to discipleship in you, and those as we leave, God, that we would leave with a blessing. So bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. You are dismissed. We love you so much. Look forward to seeing you in fasting and prayer this week. God bless you. Hug somebody that you don't know on the way out. Say, I'm going to know you, especially if they don't look like you. Find somebody that don't look like you. A Campus Connect moment after the third service. So if you're a student and you're still here from the conference, after the third service in the upper venue, we have a little reception for you. If you're still here as a student, come. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, we're here to pray for you. God bless.